Patriot, WWTC, Minneapolis, St. Paul.
FM 107.5, K298CO, Minneapolis. 20 years of intelligent talk.
With SRN News, I'm Jason Walker. The Senate's top Republican, Kentucky's Mitch McConnell, crediting everyday Americans for putting the country on a path to recovery from COVID-19. Bob Agnew reports.
In 2020, Americans demonstrated
heroism, selflessness, ingenuity.
And despite big action by the government, including trillions in new spending, McConnell says it was largely everyday Americans who made the difference.
Neighbors looked out for neighbors, and small businesses shifted gears almost overnight. Children and parents have fought to adapt to extraordinary disruptions.
McConnell also notes most factors in the turnaround were already in place before President Biden was sworn in. Bob Agnew reporting.
Duke University issuing a quarantine order for all undergrads because of a virus outbreak. School says they must be forced to stay in place until March 21st. This is SRN News.
As we commemorate our 20th year on air, we also celebrate another powerful year of the longest-running conservative talk show in the Twin Cities. Join us on Saturday the 20th from 1 to 5 for a very special edition of the Northern Alliance Radio Network, presented by Great Garage Door. You'll hear favorite voices from years past like John Hinderrocker, Ed Morrissey, King Banyan, and more. We are AM 1280, The Patriot.
Just a little bit after 2 p.m. here at AM 1280 The Patriot. My name is Brian, and for the weather today, it's going to be a high of 59 degrees and sunny. Remember, set those watches and analog clocks ahead an hour this Saturday night as we lose an hour in spring ahead. Good bet your phone will take care of itself, but don't forget the microwave.
The views expressed on the following program do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
Stand by for the Northern Alliance Radio Network. And go launch sequence. Engineering?
Go flight.
Master control?
Go flight.
Studio engineer?
Go flight.
We are go for launch in T-minus 3, 2, 1. We have liftoff.
The Northern Alliance Radio Network is on the air. Live and local from the AM 1280 The Patriot Studios in Eagan, here is the closer, Brad Carlson.
AM 1280 The Patriot. Northern Alliance Radio Network. Back with hour number two of the broadcast we like to call the closer. That's me, Brad Carlson. Thanks as always for tuning into our show. You can check out my blog at bradcarlson.org, and we are here to take your phone call, 651-289-4488. You can also weigh in via Twitter. Just use hashtag NARNshow, that's hashtag N-A-R-N show. And if you'd like to send us a message or via Facebook, feel free to do so. Just go to facebook.com, do a search for the Northern Alliance Radio Network, and give us a follow or a like on our Facebook page. If you haven't done so already. Oh, and speaking of our Northern Alliance Radio Network Facebook page, I do have the live stream of the broadcast up and running. And it's a fun way for me to interact with the listeners as well. I've got the video up on my Facebook page. Not to look at my ugly mug, but to see if there are any comments that follow on this particular video. So, as always, we thank you for listening, tuning in. And if you're listening to the podcast later on, hey, we appreciate the support. As well, I want to switch gears to one local story. This is from alphanewsmn.com. AJ Kaufman is the author of this piece. A physician and former Republican Republican legislator Scott Jensen will run for governor in next year's election, with an official announcement likely in the coming week. The 66-year-old, who retired in January after one term in the Minnesota Senate, gained national recognition for his contrarian views on the COVID-19 pandemic. As a family doctor, many in the media took his skepticism seriously. Since leaving politics, Jensen continued his criticism with several online videos that have aired at Alpha News. Over the past year, Scott has gained national attention for his criticisms of the CDC's guidelines on the classification of coronavirus deaths due to inflated numbers, a release about his gubernatorial campaign said in part. He has been and will continue to search for truth and expose the facts surrounding COVID-19 and the measures Governor Walz has implemented. He will evaluate thoughtful discourse, engage in difficult conversations, and will not allow pandering groupthink to impede the vital contributions science can provide. I personally thought it was an unfair characterization of Dr. Jensen to call him a COVID denier. I watched a lot of his videos, and I never got a sense that he was a denier. I think he was questioning some of the methodologies that the CDC was incorporating, particularly on how they measure COVID deaths. Because his indication early on was, look, some of these people are saying that folks with severe underlying health conditions where they're on death's door and they contract COVID, they're saying, well, if you're not sure what actually caused the death, what ultimately caused the death, you know, classify it as a COVID-19 death. And Dr. Jensen took exception to that and said as much. And then the Minnesota Department of Health came out and offered a clarifying statement. Okay, that's not how we are going to measure COVID deaths. We'll, you know, if our suspicion is that COVID was ultimately the thing that caused a person's death, but they have significant underlying health conditions with other serious ailments, you know, we'll check back and revise the numbers if we need to. And so he caused the Minnesota Department of Health to give a clarifying statement. That's not a bad thing, I don't think. I think where he was under scrutiny, most severe scrutiny and criticism, was he had indicated that the number of cases that were projected to occur, he said, well, that's comparable to what we could get in a normal flu season. Now, at no point did he ever say it's just like the flu, where, you know, you have a percentage that are going to die from the flu, but it's just, you know, it's just as severe as the flu. And he never came out and said that, because what we have known from day one, including Dr. Jensen, is this is much more contagious than the flu. Whereas you could not, and the key aspect, of course, was if you don't convey symptoms, if you're asymptomatic, you're still contagious. Okay? So that's the biggest thing, the biggest factor. So I've watched a lot of his videos, and at no point did I feel he said that. And I think where he really got national recognition, he put out a video that went viral. I think it had close to 3 million views about when he took to his Facebook page and indicated he was being investigated by the Minnesota State Board of Medical Practice because there were multiple anonymous complaints being filed against him. And complaints about which he was ultimately cleared. But the complaints were that he was giving out harmful information on the virus. Well, he never said to not physically distance. That would have been incredibly irresponsible for any individual to say. And when he talked about face masks, okay, at the time he was talking about face masks, they weren't even mandated here in the state of Minnesota. So this idea that he was saying defy the governor's orders on face masks was patently false, because these complaints against him occurred in early July. We didn't have a face mask mandate, I think, more toward the middle of July. Okay? So I think that this is something, what ultimately was cleared of wrongdoing, as I mentioned, by the State Board of Medical Practice. But this is something that I think he could use to his advantage by simply reminding voters he's exhibit A in how people with a political axe to grind can weaponize speech to, you know, again, get at somebody that they don't agree with politically. And that's the thing. These were anonymous claims made against him. He doesn't get to know who made these claims against him. And that would be helpful information. I'm not saying release the names publicly, but if you know who releases these claims, it could be someone with a political axe to grind. It could be someone who's having their pockets lined by a certain lobby that opposes Dr. Jensen. You never know, but because they're anonymous, well, we don't know. But in this era of cancel culture, this is definitely a concept which could resonate with many, where someone with a potential political axe to grind can just file an anonymous complaint. And unfortunately, in this day and age, this isn't new to this period of time. This has been around for, I'd say, probably a decade or two. It seems like the seriousness of the charge is more damning than whether you're guilty of the charge being levied against you. No one takes it. How many people know? As many people know that Dr. Jensen was cleared of these complaints by the Minnesota State Board of Medical Practice as knew that he was accused of nefarious behavior, wrongdoing? I don't know that, but I wouldn't be shocked if not as many people knew he was cleared as did that he was actually accused. So that's an issue. But I think where Dr. Jensen, and I say this with all due respect, I like the man. I've met him on multiple occasions. I like him a lot. But where I think he's going to have an uphill battle is with people on our own side, the right of center, conservative side, particularly the pro-gun crowd. He was willing to entertain gun control legislation in the aftermath of the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas high school shooting in Parkland, Florida, back in February of 2018. Even though when he took a survey prior to his election to the Minnesota Senate in 2016, he was given an A rating for his stance on firearms, basically indicating he would never vote for gun control. Well, then he was seriously entertaining proposals on gun control, and I think he was even maybe co-authoring a bill with another Republican senator, Paul Anderson out of Plymouth. Paul did not seek re-election in 2020, by the way, neither did Dr. Jensen. He's going to have to assuage the concerns of what I think is the most well-organized grassroots organization in the state, which is the Second Amendment crowd. I mean, we've had all Democrat control multiple times in this state. Well, particularly 2013, 2014, both of those legislative sessions had DFL majorities in the House and Senate, plus a DFL governor, then Mark Dayton. And the DFL did not get gun control through. Couldn't get it through. And that's due in no small part to folks like at the Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus, of which I am a proud member. Shameless plug, gunowners.mn. Check them out. Okay? Because they are an effective grassroots lobbying group. You know, you hear the constant criticism of pro-gun politicians. They say, well, they're in the pockets of the NRA, and the NRA has their manhood in a money clip, you know, that sort of thing. And none of that's true, because it's grassroots organizations. It's we the people who show up and pack the hearings of these gun control hearings. Of course, there's fences in front of the Capitol now, so you can't do that, at least today. But my point is that Senator Jensen's going to, he's not a senator anymore, Dr. Jensen, he's going to have to answer for that. You know, why did you even entertain these gun control bills in the first place? Because what happened at Stoneman Douglas High School had a lot more to do with the weapon that this person possessed, not the least of which, there are already laws in place that prevented the gunman from owning that weapon. So how in the world, Dr. Jensen, would your gun control proposals have stopped that shooting? It didn't make any sense. So he's gonna have to answer for that. I've already seen many of my pro-Second Amendment friends on Facebook when this announcement came out said, nah, hard pass. This is a non-starter. Can't support Scott Jensen. And now, from what I understand, he significantly backed off that gun control stance since then. But still, it's hanging out there. And he's going to have to answer for it. And I know he knows this. And he'll be prepared for it. So Scott Jensen's the first Republican candidate to declare for the gubernatorial race against Governor Walz next year. But he's obviously not going to be the final one. And he can't be. And like I say, if it came down to a matchup between Governor Tim Walz and Scott Jensen, I'd vote for Scott Jensen, okay? Because I feel as though he has significantly backed off that gun control stance. But again, I mean, I'm not the one that needs convincing. There's a lot more gunnies out there that are going to need convincing and reassurance that, he maybe was a little too overzealous, got caught up in the emotion of it. And, of course, being a medical professional, one can't blame him for that either, considering the carnage that took place. But he's going to, and people will accuse me of just being a right-wing shill. It's like, well, you'll vote for anyone against Governor Tim Walz. Well, if the MyPillow guy is the Republican candidate against Governor Tim Walz, yeah, that's a non-starter. So I do have a bar, and granted, Mike Lindell's not a very high bar. God love him. Great story, great personal testimony, but would definitely not vote for him for governor. So if that's your accusation of me, that I'm just going to vote for any Republican that opposes Tim Walz, not 100% true. 651-289-4488 is the number to call. You can also weigh in via Twitter, hashtag Narn Show. That's hashtag N-A-R-N Show. Brad Carlson, the closer, coming back with another segment on the broadcast. Go nowhere.
Cool voiceover, zany sound effect.
We were going to write a flashy promo about streaming us at radio.com, but considering how easy it is to do, we'll keep it simple, too. Listen to The Patriot on the free radio.com app.
If you're thinking of replacing your carpets due to pet stains and odors, you must try Genesis 950. The reviews are amazing, as this is one product that actually works. With water, it breaks down the bonds of stains and odors, so they're gone for good. Its antibacterial component removes pet odors from carpet and padding. It can be used in a carpet cleaning machine, and it's green, so it's safe for your family and pets. Genesis 950 is made in America. If you are tired of pet cleaners that don't work, it's time to buy Genesis 950. 1 gallon of industrial-strength Genesis 950 makes up to 7 gallons of cleaner. But Genesis 950 is not just for pet stains. It's great for bathrooms, kitchens, floors, upholstery, and grease stains. Consider Genesis 950 before purchasing new carpets. Genesis 950 has great customer service. Order 1 gallon direct at genesis950.com to receive a free spray bottle, free shipping, and $10 coupon using code PETS. That's $10 coupon using code PETS. That's genesis950.com. Discount only available at genesis950.com. Genesis 950, much cheaper than replacing your carpets.
Arby's Computer Service.
You and your business are online today more than ever. Most people are working from home and meeting via internet, and that means IT structures are overtaxed and Wi-Fi is humming. An outage in one of your critical systems now could be a fatal blow to your operation. Arby's Computer Service is ready and able to help. Their staff is standing by and prepared to offer assistance. If your business IT system experiences a failure, give Arby's a call. Their professional team of certified computer and networking specialists is experienced in diagnosing and solving a wide range of issues. With Arby's Computer Service on the job, you'll never have to worry about dealing with IT-related issues on your own. Whether it's for your personal system or business, Arby's Computer Service knows that internet traffic is surging, and they're available now to help. You'll always get competitive pricing, trustworthy advice, and excellent customer service from Randy and his team at Arby's Computer Service.
Giving your computer problems the boot, Arby's Computer Service.
Imagine sharing a prayer request from your phone and seeing as those around the world take your request before God. The new Pray With Me prayer app will connect you with other Christians worldwide who have experienced the power of prayer and know the encouragement it can provide. Visit praywithme.com to discover how your faith can grow when we pray without ceasing. Receive prayer. Pray for others at praywithme.com.
With the vast majority of media today leaning hard left, it can be tricky to find news that actually shares, let alone defends, a conservative viewpoint. HotAir.com provides analysis and commentary from conservative writers like Ed Morrissey. HotAir.com.
Welcome back. AM 1280 The Patriot. Northern Alliance Radio Network. Thank you as always for tuning in. It's me, Brad Carlson. Here to take a phone call, 651-289-4488. You can also weigh in via Twitter, hashtag Narn Show. That's hashtag N-A-R-N Show for any comments or questions. And as always, we appreciate you tuning in. There we go. I was getting a little panicked. My screen froze up ever so slightly. Hey, folks, just want to make you aware, if I'm sure it's been talked about quite a bit on the station, whether it's via advertisements or radio hosts ourselves, but in celebration of AM 1280, the Patriots' 20th birthday, which is officially on this Friday, March 19, we're getting the band back together. Yeah, join us for a very special edition of the Northern Alliance Radio Network this Saturday, the 20th, 1 to 5 p.m. You'll hear from current hosts Mitch Berg and myself, plus guest appearances from Scott Johnson and John Hinderacher from the Powerline blog, Ed Morrissey, then of the Captain's Quarters blog when he started with the NARN, now of hotair.com, King Banyan, who is still heard on her sister station, AM 1440, The Businessman, Saturdays 9 to 11 a.m. for the King Banyan Show, and Chad the Elder and Brian St. Paul Ward of the now-defunct Fratters Libertas blog. It was one of the more insightful, entertaining blogs that I had read. Sorry to see that it has moved on to other things, but again, Chad and Brian have also moved on to other things, so it's perfectly appropriate. Also, former producers John Osborne and Tommy H-Bomb Wynn will be joining us as well. We're going to share our favorite Patriot memories, probably share a few other anecdotes, tell some jokes. I imagine there will be some big political news that we'll weigh in on. It's going to be a lot of fun. As I've said before, I was a fan first and foremost above anything else before I got my own show. I started first listening to the NARN in late 2004, and it was appointment radio every weekend since then. So I'm looking forward to this. These guys were, whether they knew it or not, were my mentors, a lot of these guys. So I'm going to look forward to this. It's going to be a lot of fun. Incidentally, this broadcast is going to be presented by Great Garage Door as well as the Upper Midwest Law Center. So, again, that's this Saturday, 1 to 5 p.m., the NARN Super Show. And then another programming note, I will be out next Sunday. Mitch Berg will be filling in for me 1 to 3 p.m. again next Sunday, March 21st. So just a couple of programming notes there. To say that the star is no longer Governor Cuomo, Andrew Cuomo's star is no longer shining would be a definite understatement. There has now been multiple prominent Democrat politicians who have called for Governor Cuomo to resign, particularly the senators in his own state, U.S. senators, Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, as well as Kirsten Gillibrand, and Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez have all called on Governor Cuomo to resign now that there's been, I think, there's now 7 or 8 women who have come forward and accused him of some sort of harassment or bullying. And look, if this ultimately ends Andrew Cuomo's his term as governor, then, you know, so be it. But it's an absolute disgrace that this is being touted above what should be the absolute scandal. And that is, what is it, 15,000 dead in nursing homes due to a disastrous nursing home policy that his administration tried to cover up because they were concerned it would be used as a political cudgel by the Trump administration? And Janice Dean, who is a meteorologist with Fox News, she has been leading this drumbeat, trying to blow the lid off this scandal, and it finally started to happen, and then a lot of Governor Cuomo's accusers came forward and said he sexually harassed him, which, again, not going to say that's not appropriate or that they come forward. Absolutely is the prudent thing to come forward. And here's the thing. It took about 4 or 5 accusers before people really started to take it seriously. Well, so much for believe all women. What happened to the first 1 or 2 that came forward, or 3? That doesn't seem to live up to the standard of believe all women, because if it was just the first one that came out with his accusation, then where was the standard that was there in the past? But call me a cynic, I really have a hard time giving kudos and accolades to the likes of Senator Schumer and Gillibrand, as well as Representative Ocasio-Cortez, because politically, this doesn't impact them politically. because New York's going to elect a Democrat governor, and the hopes is it's going to be Bill de Blasio, the far-left mayor of New York City, who also himself has come out and called for the resignation of Andrew Cuomo. I mean, when you can put Bill de Blasio in a positive light, you know you've done something. So, again, while the focus is on the female accusers coming forward and accusing Governor Cuomo of harassment, okay, yeah, it's newsworthy. There's no question about it. And they need to be taken seriously, just like every accuser should be taken seriously. But where I draw the line is believe women full stop. No, there needs to be some sort of corroborating evidence, corroborating story. But again, aside from that, how are we going to allow this nursing home scandal to go down the memory hole? It can't. And if Senators Schumer and Gillibrand and as well as Representative Ocasio-Cortez want to come out and say, well, he should resign at the very least over this nursing home scandal, okay, then I might give you a few more accolades, but they're conveniently ignoring that or not giving the credibility that it's due. And Janice Dean, again, Fox News meteorologist, and you know, people dismiss her curtly as just the weather lady. Well, her husband's parents were in New York nursing homes and both perished as a result of Governor Cuomo's policy. So she's been beating this drum for a long, long time and is not going to stop. And every single day, she's putting out a tweet saying, don't forget about the nursing home residents who died. Let's not forget those people. Let's keep our eye on the ball, folks. But Governor Cuomo, he's all indignant. He's not going to resign. And he's questioning his accusers' motivations, which, okay, whatever. But here's what's going to happen. You're going to get Andrew Cuomo refusing to resign and continuing to thumb his proverbial nose at these charges and go on about the business of being the governor of New York, and it's going to be forgotten about. And the news media won't continue to press it because he's a Democrat. Just goes against their nature. Now, they are giving the accusers a platform, and that's good, I guess, but not at the expense of 15,000 dead in long-term care facilities in New York. And, by the way, you question whether this is just going to go away if Governor Andrew Cuomo ignores it. I've got three words for you. Governor Ralph Northam. Remember him, the governor of Virginia, where there was a yearbook that was unearthed where it showed one guy in blackface and the other in a Klansman's outfit, and no one determined which was Northam. People assumed he was the one in blackface, but he came out and said, no, I'm not resigning. No, not resigning, not resigning. And there was constant pressure on him to resign. The lieutenant governor was accused of sexual assault. He himself said, nope, not resigning. Not resigning. Guess what? Governor Northam and Lieutenant Governor Fairbanks still in power in Virginia. And they in Virginia, governors only serve one term, so their term is going to be up at the end of this year. They just ignored it. They just kept saying, nope, not resigning. And it went away. And the same thing is going to happen here. Governor Cuomo is up for re-election in 2022. He hasn't said whether he's running or not. I can't believe he is, but as arrogant as he is, he might. Who's to say? But, you know, I just can't help but shake my head that when Bill de Blasio is somehow the hero here, you know, calling for his resignation, well, you know, standing up to a guy in his own party, you know, politically they're not really suffering anything. Look at Al Franken. They had no problem throwing Al Franken under the bus a few years ago for his allegations of groping women because they knew that a progressive governor of Minnesota, then Mark Dayton, was going to appoint a progressive to replace Al Franken. And that progressive would easily win election in a special in 2018 and then would be up for a full term in 2020, which is exactly what happened. Tina Smith was appointed by Governor Dayton. A year later, she had to run in a special in 2018. She won that. And then in 2020, ran for a six-year term, won that one as also. So politically, they can look like big heroes. Now, if you would do that to a senator, a Democrat senator that was in a swing state that would be vulnerable to seat that would be vulnerable to losing to a Republican, then I could give you some kudos and accolades. But right now, all this is grandstanding, and I'm sorry to say, not real impressed. 651-289-4488 is the number to call. You can also weigh in via Twitter, hashtag NarnShow, hashtag N-A-R-N Show. Brad Carlson, the closer, coming back with our National Political Walk. Matt Mikowiak, next segment. Go nowhere.
I struggled with symptoms like frequent gas and stomach pain for years.
I was bloated all the time with daily diarrhea.
At first, I thought it was what I was eating.
I kept thinking it was stomach issues.
So I did my research and talked to my doctor, and we finally uncovered the truth.
It was actually EPI. Exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, is a condition where your pancreas is unable to help break down your food.
It can lead to symptoms like diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools.
And EPI symptoms can be confused with those of other common digestive conditions, like irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's, and celiac disease.
So getting to the right diagnosis meant being more open with my doctor about the severity of my symptoms and how often they were happening.
But there's good news. EPI is manageable, so don't wait any longer. Use the symptom checker at identifyepi.com and schedule a visit or call with your doctor to ask, Could I have EPI?
Sponsored by AbbVie.
Have you written a book? You can become a published author with Dorrance Publishing, the nation's oldest publishing services company. Countless authors have trusted Dorrance for nearly 100 years to bring their book to the market. Our professional team will edit your text, design your book pages, and create an appealing, eye-catching custom cover. Plus, our authors benefit from a custom book promotion marketing campaign that makes your book available where people buy books, like Amazon and brick-and-mortar bookstores. So make this free call right now to claim your free author's guide to publishing. Don't wait another day. Take one step closer to realizing your dream of becoming a published author and seeing your name in print. You've already written a book, so the next thing to do is make this free call right now to Dorrance Publishing and get your free guide to publishing. Call right now.
800-482-8399. 800-482-8399. That's 800-482-8399.
The cold and snow will not last forever, and neither will this furnace sale. Save $1,500 or more on a new high-efficiency furnace and air conditioner combo. That's savings of $1,500 or more from Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Standard Heating is a fourth-generation Minnesota family-owned company entering into their 91st year of business. In anticipation of the snow melting, Standard Heating is offering a $1,500 savings or more on a new high-efficiency furnace and AC combo. Ask about installing a water heater with your new equipment and be ready for whatever weather Minnesota throws at you. Visit standardheating.com to learn more about the products and services they offer. Don't wait, because just like winter, this special offer on a new high-efficiency furnace and AC combo ends on March 31st. Visit standardheating.com today, providing the comfort you deserve since 1930. That's standardheating.com/patriot, or mention the Patriot sent you over the phone. That's standardheating.com.
Welcome back. AM 1280 The Patriot. Northern Alliance Radio Network with me, Brad Carlson. Thanks as always for tuning in. 651-289-4488 is the number to call. You can also weigh in via Twitter at hashtag NarnShow. That's hashtag N-A-R-N Show. For any comments or questions, as always, we appreciate you tuning in. We do want to get to our guest on the phone. Always an honor to be joined by our political wonk, Matt Mikowiak. Check out his podcast, by the way. Mac on Politics is his podcast. That's M-A-C-K, Mac on Politics. Always has some high-powered guests on there. And check it out wherever you get your favorite podcast. Going to bring Matt on to talk about the latest in the Biden agenda. And if we have an opportunity, some way too early speculation on the 2022 congressional midterms. Matt, always good to be joined by you, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, Brad. Great to be with you.
Thanks for joining us. I guess, Matt, first of all, I guess want to check on your home state of Texas. About a few weeks ago or so, a lot of us around the nation watched with pretty grave concern what you were going with kind of some unprecedented or unusual weather with the snow and ice and some of your infrastructure was down. We saw grocery store lines similar to what we might see in third world countries. How has the state recovered since then, Matt Mikowiak?
Yeah, the state is in better shape. I mean, there are still actually some people who don't have water. I think I saw there's, I forget the number in Austin, that don't still have water.
Oh,
it's amazing because it's been several weeks.
Yeah.
But yeah, power's been restored. Water's, you know, 95 or 98% of people in the state. Now, obviously, there's damage that's been done. You know, a lot of people had pipes burst and other damage to their property, and I haven't even seen an estimate. But, you know, the bigger issue now is kind of, what actions, if any, the legislature is going to take to try to prevent this from ever happening again.
Sure.
You know, there's issues like weatherization that are being put on the table. There's reform to our state, you know, electricity grid regulator. There's potential reforms to some of the power generators. You know, there's a lot of talk about how we get power and whether we want to continue this push towards renewables or whether their unreliability is something to consider. So, you know, we have a part-time legislature in Texas, and they're only in session 140 days every other year.
Right.
And they happen to be in session between now and Memorial Day, so they have a couple months to do something significant on it. But, yeah, it was quite literally a perfect storm. It was the worst storm since the 1890s in Texas. We had four or five consecutive days of sub-zero temperatures, which is very unusual.
Wow.
That combined with the, you know, demand for electricity outstripping supply, which combined with the natural gas pipelines freezing,
mm-hmm.
so the gas couldn't flow, and then it also combined with the wind turbines freezing and the ice on the solar panels, making it impossible for the alternative fuels to provide electricity they usually do. They usually produce somewhere between 20 and 33% of our electricity on the grid. When all hell broke loose that Monday, it got down to about 2%.
Oh, my gosh.
So, you know, and then you have to add to that the fact that the state electricity regulator was unable to execute rolling blackouts, which is a fairly standard procedure, you know, across the country. We've seen these in California in recent years, particularly during the wildfires. Nobody
right.
wants that. But, you know, the only thing worse than rolling blackouts is, you know, 4 or 5 million Texans without power for 4 or 5 days. So
right.
there are so many problems. It's so deep and so complicated. You know, we'll see how they work through it. But, yeah, it was an embarrassment for the state of Texas. You had several dozen people die. You had a lot of people in really difficult situations. And it's going to take a while for us to figure out how we can ensure this never happens again.
My goodness. Yeah. Well, we appreciate the update on that, Matt, and definitely hope for the best in the recovery and that you definitely all stay safe. Speaking of your home state of Texas, obviously it's been in the news quite a bit, not only for the weather for the past few weeks, but also recently. Particularly at the southern border, Joe Biden, when he was running for president in 2020, flat out said that there would be a pause on deportations if he were president and that not one more inch of border wall would be constructed if he were president. And obviously the folks on the other side of the border took that very seriously because they're flooding across at the at an alarming rate. And what was what's old and busted, kids in cages, and the new hotness apparently is migrant centers, welcome centers, Matt Mikowiak, that are just overwhelmed with underage individuals coming across the border. The administration is yet to dub it a crisis, but how could you refer to it as anything else at this point?
Oh, it's astounding. You know, it's interesting because, you know, I think probably, you know, 40 or 50% of the country really probably supported the President Trump's immigration policy.
Yep.
And there's another 30 or 40% that probably strongly opposed it. And there was, you know, a good number of people in the middle that maybe wanted more enforcement, but also wanted some compassion.
Sure.
And if anything, the contrast between, you know, the results of the Trump immigration policy and the results of the Biden immigration policy just in 2 or 3 months are so stark. Right. Just, you know, these facilities down on the border. I think I saw a story last night. One of these facilities is 794% of max capacity. You know, Biden has effectively brought back kids in cages, even though the media doesn't want to tell that story. That's exactly what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
The unaccompanied minor spike is significant. You had a Democratic member of Congress named Henry Cuellar, who represents a good chunk of the border, reveal that the city of Brownsville let out 108 COVID positive illegal immigrants in recent days. 108 positive that came across the border that they couldn't hold and that they couldn't take care of. And that's just in one city for a period of a couple of weeks. You can imagine what that number is. The Border Patrol is totally overwhelmed, under-resourced. And, of course, I think Friday, the governor announced that they're going to prioritize vaccinations for Border Patrol personnel. But, of course, that takes time, not just to deploy,
sure,
but for those vaccinations to become fully realized. Mm-hmm. So it just keeps getting worse. It started with Biden undoing the end of catch and release, putting that back in place, undoing the Remain in Mexico policy that kept asylum applicants in Mexico while they wait to have their forms processed. It started with the 100-day moratorium on immigration enforcement, which he announced, which was an absolute magnet down the border, and that's why you have these caravans coming right now to our southern border personnel. So it's a total disaster. It's getting worse by the minute. The White House won't call it a crisis. They'll call it, I don't even know what word they're using, situation or challenge. I just don't think it's a winning position for the Democrats to say, you know, during a global pandemic when we can't reopen schools, we can have an open border. Like, that is insane. And I think middle America is going to reject that entirely. And it's going to give Republicans, I think, a great issue to run on in the midterms.
Yeah, and it's continually stunning to me how these same people who were so adamantly opposed to Trump still, at least by their actions, don't have a concept of how someone like Trump gets elected in the first place. I mean, it just
exactly.
Yeah, it just seems to be going back to the pre-Trump levels. Very scary, very scary. Hopefully for the best again down in your home state. Again, speaking of your home state and coronavirus, your governor, Greg Abbott, had indicated within the past week or two that it's time to open Texas 100%, ending the statewide mask order. And he was citing declining hospitalizations across the state. Obviously, that was met with a lot of pushback, particularly from what I understand, the Texas Rangers are going to have 100% capacity at their opening day baseball stadium. A lot of criticism of that. You just indicated that there are 100-plus COVID-positive illegal aliens that have come across the border that were released into the populace. And yet, if there's a super spreader event, it seems to me that there's going to be less focus on those that are actually COVID positive than the mandates that were lifted. I know it's very early on, Matt Mikowiak. Has there been any results, any dramatic shift in statistics surrounding coronavirus since the governor lifted these mandates?
Not in statistics. I mean, keep in mind, you know, when you take away a mandate and when you, you know, go from whatever we were, 25 or 50%, depending on the part of state you were in, to 100%, you know, if you were to see a spike in positive tests, it would take 7, 10, 12 days probably, because that's
okay.
How long it takes for the test to become positive. So we just started last Wednesday. We're at day 4, day 5 now. We'll see what happens with the numbers. And, of course, the governor has, you know, a lot riding on this. He's ahead of most of the other states. I think I saw Mississippi and a couple of the states followed him. But only, I think, Kristi Noem and Ron DeSantis have been perhaps more aggressive in reopening their economies than Greg Abbott has in Texas. If you look at, you know, positive case positivity rate, if you look at the death rate going down, if you look at the ICU bed capacity being, you know, as good as it's been in a while, those three data points all, I think, pushed him in a direction to do this. I think the other thing was the J&J vaccine approval, which that's why, you know, I think I saw today we had almost 5 million Americans vaccinated in one day. You know, I'm sure the Biden administration wants to take credit for that. I'm happy to give them even some credit for going from whatever we were, 1 million or so when Trump left office, to almost 5 million today. But that's not really because of anything they're doing. It's because the J&J vaccine was approved. It's been deployed. The state of Texas got 200,000 doses 2 days after it was approved, and so it's because of the tremendous production capacity for these companies, and it's a one dose thing. So every dose gets one person rather than two doses needed for one person with Moderna and Pfizer. So yeah, we'll see how it goes in Texas. I'm pretty bullish on it. If you see, you know, you look at what's happened with vaccinations, you combine that with people who have antibodies because they've had the disease recently. You combine that with all the stats, you combine that with J&J and everything else. I think the governor made a bold decision. You could perhaps argue he was a couple weeks early, but I think by the end of May, we're going to be pretty darn close to herd immunity, perhaps by end of summer, as Fauci said, but it might be earlier than that. And I think he decided, look, we're just not going to have statewide mandates. If the urban areas want to do this, we can fight it out in court. But the other parts of the state need to be able to save their businesses, save their small businesses, keep restaurants open, keep bars open without, you know, people congregating at the bar itself. to me, I thought it was actually pretty reasonable, even though, you know, it caused an absolute, you know, freak out on the national media.
Of course, yeah. Well, and that particular end, I know I saw some prominent conservative voices and, you know, people who I know who live in Texas who are conservative as well, rather hesitant to give the governor credit because they said, look, the governor issued these mandates in the first place when we didn't feel that we needed them. So did you feel that that sentiment was more prevailing than anything else, Matt Mikowiak, that, well, hey, the governor put these in place in the first place, so we don't think that he deserves the credit he's getting? You know, obviously he's up for re-election again in 2022. What's kind of the general sentiment there?
He's gotten a lot of pressure from the right, a lot of criticism from the right for not reopening faster, for not getting the mask mandate faster, for not getting back to 100% faster. But you have to remember, he opened bars earlier than most of the other governors did, and we did see a spike, and he admitted that was a mistake, that he should have had a better plan to ensure that bars could remain safe. So he pulled that back, and that's why I think he's been pretty pretty analytical and thoughtful about the right time and the right way to do this. After he did that, he put a reopening plan together that was regionally and geographically based, and it was based really a lot on related to the hospital district. So what the case rate was, what the hospitalization rate was, what the death rate was, those things. And if you were under a certain level, you could get to 50%. You go from 25% open to 50% open. So those are the metrics he was using. We are really at a modern day low in all the stats. We're as good as we all the stats for the last 6 months right now in Texas. So that's part of why he wanted to reopen, but he also wanted to save the economy. And this is the piece I think the Dems don't appreciate. We've got to save the economy. Shut down forever.
Right.
Right. People need to make a living.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And, you know, kudos to Texas. I know, again, as you alluded to, some folks from the right of Governor Abbott not happy with how the mandates put in play in the first place. But it seems like there is a transition going forward. So we certainly wish the best for, well, all the states that are enacting the loosening of these restrictions. Matt, we appreciate you checking in with us as always. Again, check out his podcast, Mac on Politics Podcast. It's M-A-C-K. Mac on Politics Podcast, wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Matt, again, can't thank you enough for joining us. Hope to call on you again in the future, and have a great rest of your day.
Absolutely. Take care, Brad.
AM-1280, the Patriot, Northern Alliance Radio Network. One final segment of the broadcast coming back in mere moments. Go nowhere.
AM 1280, The Patriot.
Limitless access to intelligent talk. Stream AM 1280, The Patriot with our free app, your smart speaker, or with iHeart, TuneIn, and radio.com. We live in the Twin Cities, but serve worldwide.
Catch up on the latest news and information affecting Minnesota's great outdoors with Outdoor News Radio. We talk hunting, fishing, and natural resources in the great state of Minnesota every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Joining me, Rob Gerisline, our guest lake bow hunting expert, Tony Peterson, professional anglers like Tackle Terry Tuma and Tim Lesmeister, and nature gurus like the bird chick, Sharon Statler. Join us for Outdoor News Radio.
Every Sunday morning at 8 on our sister station, Freedom 1570.
I got into an accident on my way home from work one day, and my car was totaled. Hi, I'm Diana from Shoreview. So the rental that I was given was an Elantra, so I was like, I like this car, I want to go find an Elantra. I'm a first-time car shopper, and I had to do it all by myself because I don't have any family around. I was very scared walking into it because I always hear those cliches about car shopping. When I first walked through the doors at Invergrove Hyundai, they greeted me with a smile and they seemed like very genuinely kind people. I was surprised at how painless the process was. If you're looking for a great deal on a car and an excellent care team, I highly recommend Invergrove Hyundai.
Get up to $3,500 cash back or 0% financing for up to 60 months with $1,500 cash back on the 2021 Tucson. Every new Hyundai comes with America's best warranty, 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain and Hyundai assurance. InvergroveHyundai.com.
Hi, this is Ryan with my three quotes. As you may already know, my company is the only free service of its kind that provides you with detailed competitive quotes on window, siding, and roofing installs from multiple local contractors after just one short meeting with me. I really wanted to thank all the Patriot listeners who worked with me to improve their homes this year. Some of you have already received big-name window quotes and saved thousands of dollars through my three quotes. I cannot stress enough to call me if you had a window bid that nearly gave you a heart attack. With the best pricing in the Twin Cities and zero pressure, we'll get that heart rate back to normal. For roofing, I can use satellite imaging and measurements to get you three competing quotes, whether it's storm damage or just an upgrade. Don't wait. Winter is the time to have me check it out, making sure we secure a spring installation date. Windows and siding, however, are installed all winter long, typically saving my clients even more money. So set an appointment today at getmythreequotes.com. That's the number three, getmythreequotes.com.
TheFishTwinCities.com is streaming your favorite contemporary Christian artists like Matthew West, Toby Mac, For King and Country, and many more. Stream along at TheFishTwinCities.com, download the free app, or listen on your Amazon smart speaker.
So if you're wondering why I'm going to be out next Sunday, this song might give you a little cue as to why. Hey, welcome back. It's me, Brad Carlson, AM 1280 The Patriot, Northern Alliance Radio Network. One final segment on the broadcast. Thanks as always for tuning in. Way down here, you need a reason to move. Ah, yes. Looking so much forward to this week-long vacation. But I'll be back for the Super Show this Saturday, March 20th, because I'll be in... Ah, yes. I'm not going to sing along with Sweet Baby James here. He can take the reins. I'm not going to forget to come home, that is for sure. I have other things to tend to. Like I said, the Super Show was Saturday, March 20th. That'll be the day after we return from our vacation. But looking very much forward to the vacation, looking forward to the Super Show this Saturday, the 20th, and looking forward to being off on March 21st, because two straight Sundays back in the Patriot Bunker. I need a little respite, apparently, so... But as always, we appreciate you tuning in. Hey, folks, don't forget. I'm trying to say, folks, remember or don't forget, and I come up with don't remember. Don't remember what I'm about to tell you, no. Don't forget the trial of former officer Derek Chauvin in the death of George Floyd. That is underway. And in this time of great uncertainty, we'll be a source of reliable updates so you and your family will be safe and informed. So we hope that you join us daily in praying for peace, justice, and God's guidance. So be sure to follow us on Facebook, Parler, and Twitter for any breaking news from the courthouse and the latest updates surrounding the trial. Also keep a close ear on air for any live press conferences and statements from local leadership and law enforcement. Yeah, the jury selection has began this past week. I'll tell you what, looking at how, I mean, again, I haven't been downtown Minneapolis. I literally can't remember the last time. I think I've been in the, this occurred to me recently that I was actually in Minneapolis within the past year, but it's been very rare. It looks like a war zone. I mean, with the fences, you know, cement blocks, barbed wire, in front of these big office buildings, it's pretty sad. It's pretty sad, and I say this from a perspective as someone who worked down in Minneapolis for a couple different stints. I had one job in the late '90s. I worked down there for about 2 years, and then another job in from like 2012 through 2014. I also worked down there, and I just loved being downtown. Loved being downtown, walking around, walking through the skyways. I was a twin season ticket holder for a few years, and to be able to, take the North Star Rail, because I live up in Ramsey, and it goes through like Elk River, Ramsey, and Oka, Coon Rapids, Fridley. And I could pick up the North Star, take it down to Target Field, and enjoy a game down there. And now they're opening Target Field to 10,000 capacity. What was interesting is before the governor announced that they were going to allow 10,000 fans in Target Field for ball games, which is basically 25% capacity, Representative Pat Garofalo had an interesting idea. You know, let the Twins play in Wisconsin, you know, so they can actually play in front of fans. You know, fans could drive across the border into Wisconsin to watch the Twins play. because at the time it was uncertain whether they were going to allow fans in. And the Minnesota Wild has yet to have any fans for its games. Now at their, I guess, the capacity limits, I think they're going to have about, what, 3,000 to 4,000 that they're going to allow in now for Wild games. But I remember thinking, you know what? Even if the Twins allow fans, which we now know they're going to allow 10,000 fans, at this point, I'm more likely to go see the Twins play in Milwaukee, Chicago, Kansas City before I'd even go to Target Field. Seriously. Because I found a parking ramp, a reasonably priced parking ramp, where I could park my vehicle and walk 3 to 4 blocks to Target Field. Folks, I got to be honest. I don't know if I do that now. And again, this was before the George Floyd incident, where you heard of crime getting out of control in downtown Minneapolis, particularly one gentleman standing at a North Star stop, light rail stop that went through, I think that's Fifth Street down from Marquette towards Target Field, that was assaulted because some dude thought he was a gay man. I mean, seriously, this was the kind of horrific stories we heard down in Minneapolis. Again, even before the George Floyd incident and before there was also all this social unrest. Scary. And so now if I go to a Twins game, I'm more apt to, you know, take the light rail, or not the light rail, the North Star down there, because, you know, you're right into Target Field. It's on the, you know, western end of downtown. And then just go downstairs and get back on the North Star to take back up the cities, because at least there you're among a lot of people. That's the only way I go to a Twins game now. It's pretty sad. It's very sad. And I hope that we can get through this trial in as peaceful and dignified manner as possible. Again, there's going to be people ultimately upset by the verdict, whatever that verdict is that's handed down. But I'm hopeful that we can get through it and it can return to some semblance of normalcy. I'm not optimistic, but I'm hopeful, and we'll pray for it nonetheless. Folks, I've enjoyed it. AM 1280, The Patriot, Northern Alliance Radio Network. So looking forward to the Super Show this Saturday from 1 to 5 p.m. this Saturday, March 20th. Godspeed, my friends. Have yourselves a blessed week.
Are you tired of exposing your retirement to stock market risk? Would you like to participate in stock market gains but never stock market losses? Then join Dale Tondrick for the Retirement and Income Radio Show, Sundays at 11 a.m. Call Dale Tondrick now to get your complimentary customized retirement and income kit, plus the free retirement and income book, at 844-320-7233. That's 844-320-SAFE.
The Retirement and Income Radio Show, Sundays at 11.
No market risk retirement strategies.
Maybe you've heard about MediShare and you know what it is. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance. But you've wondered, can I really save a significant amount of money on my monthly health care bills? And the answer is an emphatic yes, you can. You could save a lot of money. Whether it's just for you or for an entire family, MediShare has an option for you. In fact, the typical family saves $500 a month switching to MediShare. And it really is the gold standard when it comes to healthcare sharing. You get free telehealth services. You get a huge network of doctors. You get great customer support. And you get the sense of security that comes from being a part of 400,000 people who share not just each other's medical bills, but purpose, too. MediShare is a community of Christians who pull together and pray for each other, which is very refreshing right now. If you want more info, it's so simple. You can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 844-57-BIBLE. That's 844-57-BIBLE. 844-57-BIBLE.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal, and now I agree. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor for Pete and Seth selected the 4 best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. That's correct. Each of the 4 ingredients deal with inflammation on a different metabolic pathway. That right there. Approaching your pain from 4 different angles may very well be why so many Americans find such wonderful pain relief. If you have back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or even just getting older, you must order the 3-week quick kickstart now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. I think it could. Give your body what it needs to heal itself. Go to relieffactor.com, call 800-500-8384. Relieffactor.com.
I appeal to you to fight. I fully recognize not everyone has a fighting nature, but everyone can help fighters. What's wrong is not to do either. If the troops have no supplies, the troops are worthless. This station is a fighter. So there's a very simple way for you to help this station, and that is just patronize their sponsors.
Help us continue to keep the Twin Cities right by supporting the local businesses you hear on this station.
Celebrating two decades on